The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples said to him, Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are scorned. Blessed are those who are ridiculed. Jesus is trying to tell us something. But what? What is Christ trying to tell us? For those of us who have enough to eat, for those of us who find joy in life, for those of us who try and work for peace, what is Christ trying to tell us? I believe Christ is telling us the blessing can come through the things that the world despises. Blessing can come through illness. Blessing can come through sadness. Blessing can come through war. Blessing can come through strife. Blessing can come for the outcast and the ridiculed and the marginalized. But our world is quick to not find blessing in any of those things. I talk to people about God. People talk back to me about their godly experiences, times that they have felt so close to God in their lives, times in which their faith has grown, their hearts have fluttered, and they have felt like they are in the company of the Almighty. It might happen at a beautiful sunrise overlooking the lake. It might come in a golden sunset as it sweeps over the forest canopy. It might be found in the joy of childbirth as a new life, new creation is brought into the world. They can experience God in a healing. God can be experienced through financial good fortune. Thanks be to God is the words that roll off our lips when we feel that we have received great blessing. But we should be careful. For if we limit ourselves to only seeing God in these things, in the beautiful sunrise, in the powerful sunset, in the miracle of new life, in the healings, in the windfalls, then we are being myopic in our view of God. We are suffering from a theology of glory, Martin Luther would say. For we are only willing to see God in the good of creation. We are only willing to see God in the power of life. We are only willing to see God in disaster averted. The cancer test that comes back negative. The financial problems that resolve themselves. But we miss God in the process. Look at the Bible. God's book. God's way of speaking to us. Look at the women and men that God has used as His people in the world. Abraham and Sarah, the great bearers of faith, suffered persecution. They suffered sickness. They suffered death. Abraham had to sit by while the Pharaoh of Egypt took his wife Sarah and raped her. If he said no or relented, he would have been killed. They know the pain of being infertile as they go into their 90s without a child. They know what it's like to live without any family or security or land to call their own. We move to the prophets of the Old Testament. We find people like Samuel, like Elijah, who are marginalized, who are ridiculed, who have death sentences put on their heads, who live in fear for their lives. We have people like Jeremiah and Isaiah who take on the corrupt, chiefly courts of Israel. And again, they are outcasts. They are downtrodden. Their lives are in danger. These are the people that God uses in the Bible. Even people of great glory like King David, we see their human side, troubled, conflicted, sinful, mournful, and ultimate failing. We come to the New Testament. We find John the Baptist, a man of great sorrow, a man who lives with no one, an ascetic, who we're told lives on bugs and honey, a man that is so hated and despised, he is beheaded. We come to St. Paul, shipwrecked, beaten, poor, has no home, gets kicked out of most towns he goes to, even those he considers brothers and sisters in the faith are suspicious of him. And then we have Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And we look at Christ's life. And where is the glory in that? Where is the glory in this man who travels throughout the Galilean countryside, who has no home, no riches, no protection, who lives on the offerings of a few women? He is hardly influential. People come to him and don't seem to know what to make of him. Those who seem to know what to make of him challenge him and doubt him. On the cross, as he's arrested, beaten, tortured, they all abandon him. Peter, the great rock of faith, that Christ just a few days before he's arrested says, "Peter, on you I will build my church," denies knowing Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows. This cross, this object that we see at Hallmark cards, that we wear as jewelry, is really a first century death machine. It is the guillotine. It is the electric chair. It is a tool of torture and death. And this is how God wants to be known in the world. God has come to the world with the marginalized, the suffering, the outcast, the sad, the hungry, the sick, and the dying. Because that is the human condition. Ours is not just a God of glory, of the sunsets and sunrises, of the lottery winnings, and the diseases and misfortunes averted. Ours is a God of day-to-day life. Ours is a God that knows the human condition. Fragile. Sinful. Sorrowful. Ours is a God who has lived that in the person of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther said, "We can see God in the sunrises and the sunsets, in the beauty of a rose blooming." But be careful, Luther warns. All that we're seeing is really the ass of God. If you want to most fully know God, if you want to get your best handle on God, then look at the cross, this symbol of suffering, this symbol of scorn, and ultimately this symbol of death. This is not a theology of glory. It is a theology of the cross. And that means God is with those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are hungry, and those who are outcast. In other words, God is with us. Not just during the glory of life, the joys of life, the happy moments of life, but God is with us through the realities of life. Sickness, death, worry, despair, angst, hardship, bankruptcy, you name it, God is there. Because that is where God is. God is not just in the happy and the joyful and the healing, but God is in the sadness and the death and the sickness of life. We come here, remember those who have died in the faith, and look forward to our journey to meet them again. Because we know that all of us will taste death. All of us have known sickness. All of us have known sadness. And Christ says, blessed are you. We're blessed because we can most fully realize God when we are walking as God. When we experience a God of the cross, a God of sickness, a God of hunger, a God of worry, a God of angst. We most fully experience God. And this is the great tragedy of our human faith, is that we walk through these events in life. We walk through sickness. We walk through worry and bankruptcy and addictions and all sorts of things. But we walk through them not being open to God. Not being open to how God is directing us, how God is blessing us, how God is forgiving us, how God is renewing us, because we've closed ourselves off to the idea that God would be involved in these things. That somehow these are below God. That they're too dirty for God. That they're not important to God, or they're too unholy for God. But ours is a God who has spent His whole time, since the beginning of creation, in the dirt of the world, in the sadness of the world, in the unholy places of the world, the very places that we eschew God, that is where we know God is. The cross tells us, the cross points us to those places in life. This would be the last place to find the Son of God. This would be the last place to find the Prince of Peace. This would be the last place to find the Messiah. But that is exactly where God went to tell us powerfully, I will be with you until the end. I will not abandon you. I will not only be involved in the good times, the great times, and the fun times. I will be with you through the sad times, through the troubling times, through the hard times. I am not just a God of glory. A God of the sun rises and sunsets. I am a God of the cross. See, ours is not a God light years away. Ours is not a God who is distant. Ours is not a God who does not care for us. We rejoice through our faith because ours is a God that is close. Ours is a God that is personal. Ours is a God that knows what our lives are like. That is how those who are mourned can be blessed. Those who work for peace can be blessed. Those who are hungry can be blessed. The meek can be blessed. The ridiculed, the scorned, the outcast, the prisoner can all be blessed. Because God is able to bring blessing to all of them. But how do we see blessing? Do we only see blessing in terms of problem solved? Cancer gone. Bank account full. Children behaving. Better job. New car. New house. You name it. If that's the only way we see blessing, if we only see God as the great big butler in the sky who comes and brings us new life on a silver platter, who solves our problems how we think they should be solved, If blessing is only a matter of fixing things, of making problems go away, then all we are looking for really is a God of glory. We are looking for only the God of the sunset and the sunrise, the God of perfection, the God of beauty, the God that just makes us feel good. But if we open ourselves up to a God of the cross, a God that went to death for us, a God that was stripped naked, beaten, tortured, ridiculed, mocked, if we open ourselves up to the existence of that God, then we can find God bringing us blessing in disease, in hardship, in sorrow, in despair. Because that is a God that can work through death. That is a God that says, I will have the last word. Nothing will defeat me. Your bank account ledger will not defeat me. Your sickness will not defeat me. Your worry will not defeat me. Your addiction will not defeat me. I cannot be defeated. In fact, I can work to bring blessings through these things that you call evil. See, St. Paul says, one of the great confusion of his time and our time is a desire to call good evil and evil good. Can cancer be good? Not on its face it can't. But if you grow in your knowledge of God and you grow in your faith and you have a newfound hope for the resurrection, good. For blessing can come through it. Can losing a job be good? Well, if you gain a new sense of dependence on God, if it invigorates your prayer life, if you have a better understanding of how fragile your life is how much you depend on the systems around you, that you are not an island unto yourself, then blessing can come through that. You see what I mean? If we're willing to open ourselves up to the possibility of how God can work, of how God can tear down our outer shell, of how God can bring resurrection into death, of how God can turn the evil into good, then we are blessed. If we come to the open grave and all we see is the casket, if all we hear are the tears and lamentations, then no blessing has come through death. But if we see families supporting one another, if we see people engaged in prayer, if we have an openness to the resurrection, the knowledge of eternal life, if we rely on that, then blessing comes through death. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who thirst and are hungry. Blessed are we that God can work through all the things that the world says we shouldn't find any joy, that we shouldn't find any hope in. St. Paul writes, and St. Paul was a man of great pains. He had a bad stomach, he had bad eyes, his bones and joints were bad. And St. Paul knew the end of his life, a life that he was not sure what it would add up to. The churches he had tried to start were still struggling. The gospel, as he proclaimed it, hadn't really seemed to take hold yet. He wrote, as I decrease, in other words, as I get more sick, as I become more infirm and fragile, as I become less vibrant, in other words, as I become all the things the world tells me I should hate to become, St. Paul says, I glory. Yeah, I glory. St. Paul says, thanks be to God as I become more sick and more fragile and more elderly. And St. Paul says, glory be to God. You know why? St. Paul writes, because as I decrease, as my pride, how much I can tackle on my own, how much I can do and accomplish, how smart I am, how handsome I am, increases or decreases, then the Lord, St. Paul says, is able to increase. See, Paul finds blessing in the things the world hates. You're slowing down. Shame on you. Here's a new vitamin. You don't look as attractive or handsome as you did 15 years ago? No problem. We got a cream or an operation for that. St. Paul says, no, I accept it. But here's the good news. The less I'm able to rely on myself, the more I realize that I need the help of others. The more I realize how imperfect I am. The more I realize how fragile I am. How given to disease I am. How given to pain that I am. The more I realize how much I need God. Because I can't go it alone. We come to All Saints Sunday and we realize we can't go it alone. Death hits us. No matter how big a wall we put up around us, no matter how many miles we jog a day, how many super fruit shakes we drink, how many antioxidants we take, we will become sick. No matter how walled off we make our relationships, our loved ones will become sick. But we have an invitation to find blessing in this thing the world curses. Sickness, sadness, and worry. Don't worry. Don't be sick. Don't get sad. That's not going to happen. But we have an invitation to walk with God during this, to strengthen our faith, to realize that God can bring joy into our lives in the midst of trouble, that God can bring spiritual healing, that God can bring insight, that God can bring new direction, that God can increase while we decrease. We live fragile lives. Lives that, like that, can be affected. We are reliant on others for the water we drink, the food that we eat, the lights that we turn on, and the gas that our furnaces burn. Even to take those things out of the equation, our bodies are fragile. Cells moving in different directions, doing different things, organs and systems, all part of who we are. Fragile human beings. We will decrease. Our relationships will decrease. Our joy will decrease. Our health will decrease. Our lives will decrease. But we have been given an invitation to allow God to increase. Amen.